Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. And as always, you know we want to hear from y'all. So if you got a phone, which I'm guessing majority of the people who listen to the show have one, give us a call, 347-826-7435. That is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call us, you can always email us, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, we take all that. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Social network, if you have Facebook, feel free to ask to join the Facebook, Smooth Drama Facebook group. Myself or Mr. J, he of the mustache where he hides all his weapons, we'll add you. Hopefully he doesn't get stopped and people frisking for, you know, like what you got in that mustache. Anyway.
Oh, silly.
So, Smooth Drama group on Facebook or anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us. We'll add you back and we can talk about whatever. Speaking about talking about whatever. So, this is the questions show. And so, just going to ask some questions. Here, there, we talk about stuff, ask some questions, and see if we got some answers. So,
alrighty.
So for example, you know, like you ask, why can't people tell the truth? Like, just state your intentions, whatnot, on whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. For example, as a man in Madrid. He was caught. He upskirted over 500 women. His Colombian cat that he was apparently he had a cell phone. He used the cell phone hidden in his backpack, and he would upload. He had uploaded nearly 300 videos to his porn site, and you know he had been racking up millions of views since last summer, and. Unfortunately, some of his victims were minors. The Spanish police called him one of the biggest predators of women's privacy. He was taking videos of women without their consent. I don't know how you do it. I mean, it's like you're like walking behind somebody and you just got your camera slight in your hand and you just, for me that's a lot of work. And you would just think that, hey, I mean with all the porn, Brown Sugar, right, that's out there and all the exhibitionism that's out there. Couldn't he have mm-hmm. just said, hey, do you mind? Is there a thrill of filming somebody without their knowledge?
I think the thrill is the thrill. I think for a lot of people now it is the thrill.
No, I thought the thrill was in the filming, right?
I mean, I think it's a lot of different things. It's the thrill that it is filming and watching, you know, your voyeurism, but it's also like maybe getting caught doing it could be a thrill. Them not knowing is a thrill. So there, it could be a lot of different reasons. I just think people.
Caught.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, at that. Well, I'm talking about in the act. You know what I mean? Not later on. But like if he's filming me and I turn around and catch him, then that might be a thrill.
To get that two-piece?
I mean, it's just like people who have sex publicly. I mean, I don't understand like the thrill of getting caught. I don't understand that.
Okay, well, speaking
of that. I understand, you know, you being in the public maybe or in open nature, but I don't understand the thrill of getting caught.
Well, speaking of that, six people, ranging in the age from 62 to 85, they face sex charges after being arrested in a conservation area in Connecticut. Police say the six were five men and an 85-year-old woman. They were involved lewd and sexual activity in the Grace Richardson Conservation Area. I'm guess they said the area was being publicized on the internet as an area for people to meet and have sex. So, great grandma at 85. It's like, look,
great great grandma.
Right, great great grandma was like, yeah. What's up? She was doing five of them.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, at 85, does it really matter?
Yeah. I mean, but they arrested him. And
well, yeah. I mean, publicly, yeah. But I'm just saying, you said she had five guys. But,
right.
You know, my thing is that she was probably like, you know what? I never did it before. I might as well do it now. The opportunity is there.
Well, my thing, I'm gonna say this to the police. I don't understand. I mean, I get it. You're gonna charge and whatnot, but if you see an 85-year-old woman handling five other senior citizens, you don't arrest her. You do this right here.
Goodness.
That's you so you girl, it's all about you. You clap for her. you know, you just say, hey, y'all just don't make too much. I'm just walking away from that. Can you deny great grandma at 85? You know she old. Like you looking at him, you see him, and it's like, all right, then. I'm just walking away. I mean,
for me, I'd have to see if it was all consensual. If she was there at free will, so then, yeah. If she's there at free will, then yes, I'm walking away.
Well, she's
85. You know, I might stand close to somebody who might need an ambulance, you know, before it's all said and done. So that's about I'm watching to make sure everybody's alive in the end.
No, I'm not watching.
Or if an ambulance needs to be called. I mean,
I don't
like
know,
watching, but you
I don't
know.
Know if I'm watching. I'm just like, hey, just keep it down.
Yeah, but I don't want anybody to die either.
Hey, you know what? At that point, these grown folks, you just got to let
that's
it.
That's true, too, but
could
you imagine, like, her grandchildren or whoever's grandchildren? It's like, how did they die? And it's like, oh, they were having sex at a park. It's like, okay. So, no, let them do that with dignity. Let them pass with dignity, at least.
Right. That's what I said. Look, I'm not arresting them. I'm not arresting them. I'm sorry. I'm looking. Like, I walk past. It's just like if you're walking on the path, whatnot, and you saw somebody getting it. It's like, you know what? Do your thing.
Well, I'm minding my own business anyway, no matter how old they are, to be honest. I'm really not trying to, you know, be in people's business like that.
Right. I'm just keep walking. I mean, I don't see the purpose of breaking that up. I'm sorry. There are more pressing things happening in the world besides breaking up great 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 grandma's gangbang.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You didn't think you would ever say that, huh?
No, that sounds awful too. That sounds awful. Wow.
Anyway, we just gonna go into the dumbass of the week after that. All right, dumbass of the week, Alex Housden, whatever. This is the news anchor who apologized to her black co-host for saying on air he resembled a gorilla. Now, I almost pulled up the video on this to play it for y'all, but I was like, you know what? Just not going to do it. I mean, basically, Jason Hackett, her co-host, right? They're watching this thing on the little gorilla, and the gorilla is looking into the camera, and she's like, oh, he kind of looks like you, as they're going off the air. And he's like, yeah, he sure does. I'm like, really? But anyway, so apparently a bunch of people stuck up for him more than he stuck up for himself. And it became a big deal. So that next day, she came back and I want to apologize not only to my co-anchor Jason, but to our entire community. Yeah. It's never funny. It's like subconscious at this point. They can't even control it. Like, oh, he looks like, I mean, if you listen to the video, she's just, oh, he does keep, oh, he looks like you. He's like, oh, yes, he does. Like, really? I just want to reach through the monitor and smack him, like, stop that. What's wrong with you? I don't look like no damn gorilla. But anyway, she apologized, though.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. You know, they usually do after they have to. I mean, you either apologize or you lose your job.
I don't know. If she had been defiant, like, you know what? It was a joke between me and him. We're cool like that. Well, that probably wouldn't have worked. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of over the fake apologies.
Yeah, you and
the
me both.
Safe face to keep my job apologies. I'm just kind of like, whatever. I prefer you not to give one. You don't have to give. You don't have to say sorry.
Yeah. Because she still was going to have the job anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll probably say it even if you don't mean it. Just say it. People will forget in a week. This Popeye chicken sandwich is now. Before then, it was Ariel. In a week, it'll be something else. So.
Let's talk about that Popeye's chicken here for a second. I mean, the fact that there are lines. I mean, like, black folks lost their mind. There are lines around the corner. It's a chicken sandwich. Folks are going crazy.
I'm just now, like, understanding. Like, I keep hearing talk about it, but I haven't, like, paid attention to it. I'm just now understanding that there's lines, there's fights. People have, like, they fought the employees, they fought each other. I'm just confused. I really just thought it was a debate on social media, which one is better, Popeyes or Chick-fil-A. So then people are like, oh, people are really mad about it and stuff. And I'm like, how so, though? I mean, it's just a debate online. It's just a social media debate. But then people were sending me videos, and I'm like, wait, this is really happening?
Yep.
So I was like, oh, okay, well.
So
I guess. I mean, what do you say to that?
I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I'm like, just like Coca-Cola had cocaine in it when they first came out. Long time ago, it's been long lines for Coca-Cola back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta have some coke, some opioids, or something in a chicken sandwich.
So, I'm gonna tell you, I'm one of the people that was able to eat one, and not because I stood in a long line. It just so happened that someone brought one to me, and this was kind of like before the big deal, you know, like before. So, no, it's just the regular chicken sandwich. It's better than, like, the patty that you get in the grocery store. But, I mean, like, it's not better than Chick-fil-A. I don't know if anybody, we're in the Bay, and Bake So Betty is, like, you know, the it spot. It's not better than that one. I mean, it's just a chicken sandwich.
All right. Well.
So.
From the words of brown sugar, it's
yeah. I don't see the big deal. Yeah.
Right. On that note, we're gonna go on break here. This is HISB Cowboy.
Snatch him up quick like Gene Wilder grabbing a chest piece and herd dog cattle. Brand a name on the lake, the district rap game. We claim telling the same like putting tame. Bang, bang, shoot him up, fam. Bugs Bunny rap, catch heat like Yosemite Sam. Try to fight it like John Wayne and heart damage. New sheriff of town, give me a half, Reggie Hammond. 48 hours to leave the damn text town. You can get with this, cause it's worldwide spit. Or you can get with that, black stallions, y'all just horse crap. What a pity, someone for loops like the stuff was made in New York City. Get a rope, sit hot, pay for Conte. The wild, wild west like Kumo D, Will Smith, or Delonte. But in the south, piss them turn around fire, Dan Fouts. Sickly out my mouth, rap gets stomped out, the state on them like gold bounce. Young guns right off into the sunset, Secretariat Cowboys, original that love Billy the Kid grit. Click clack, we'll kick up dirt from the street. We ride, glide, and blow by like tumbleweed.
Yup, giddy up, serving the talk. Man, hold up, hold it up, that ain't thick enough. Shut these up, Buffalo Souls, we pop the up, Mario fans. Pick it up, pick up, truck, that's more and tough. It's Chevy heavy for group bus, that's clicked up. They say you always cover up. Them on first, we like big stuff, so double up. A lot to warn, champions, they're locking up, live knocking it up, court. Polio, rodeo, and show them up. And that wild, 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 sound sick, cowboys, stick them up. Yeah, don't let your baby grow up to be. Mama, don't let your baby grow up to be. Huh? They from Texas, they got to be. Mama, don't let your baby grow up to be.
Raised up, stressed out, don't know what I'm talking about. 3 in the morning, I'm sleeping with an open mouth. Down south, you sex, y'all don't really know about these. Boy, how are who? Us, now, boy. Don't get into some spit of play. You're fooling my clay, clay. But out of time, I'm thinking the same. We fight it, cut the mountains. Don't come in with you. You'll get flipped like bananas. Bananas, the perfect Tony dancer. We ball hard, you're sexy. I'm ready like Dempsey. The Bumbee, boy, in the fleet. Get to the peace when we got it. You hear the hug. Every week, I'm predicting to your ear. We raw, high as a
347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. I'm going to ask you this question, Brown Sugar. So why do people use dick and pussy as objects for control? In your professional, non-professional opinion.
I don't know why you're asking me all these challenging questions. You're asking me things that I have no idea. I have no idea why. I don't even understand how that's possible, to be honest.
You don't understand how that's possible, to be honest?
No, I don't. I don't understand how people can use sex to control someone.
I mean, we wouldn't have a whole sex industry if that wasn't possible.
What do you mean? I thought it was for pleasure, for procreation. I don't know. I'm confused, like, on the control issue.
All right. So we have individuals. We call them pimps. Madam.
Okay. So that, to me, that's even a little bit more different than, like, I was thinking in terms more of a relationship.
Well, that too.
So to me, that is even different than, but I would say, like, when you talk about, like, a pimp or a madam, and then you talk about prostitutes, to me, there's emotion, there's trauma there to me. But that's even different. And not to say that a relationship isn't trauma or couldn't be traumatic, but I don't know. I just feel like prostitutes are really, like, there's, like, serious trauma that they're actually, like, looking for something. And it's possible that it could be in a relationship, too. I'm not saying it's not, but I just feel like the whole pimp prostitute thing is just a different dynamic of a situation.
It's a different dynamic. Well, see, all right.
How
so we talk about. I mean, but see, what we talk about sex as a weapon. You have the pimp, right? The pimp sexually imposes himself on the prostitute and puts them out there. And then, you know, it's a psychological thing.
But he's already found someone that's weak, so that's damaged or broken or whatever you want to call it. Their confidence, their self-esteem is the lowest of the low. Okay. I don't, I mean, you know, you might talk, and I would say, you know, if you talk about like a prostitute on the street, and then there's the dynamic of a call girl who may have a little bit more self-esteem than the prostitute on the street, but then to me there's still something there, unless they're just all motivated by money.
All right. So, I mean,
that's what
so
strippers
we
are motivated by money.
Right. So strippers motivated by money, whatnot. And so people go mm-hmm. to strip clubs to pay people to do what, if you ask a regular person to do, they probably would do it for you. Probably not as well, but it probably save you, depending on how you're rolling, a good G a year.
Possibly. But like you said, they're not, they're paying for a show, though. You're not going to get that same show. I can't do like what they do. So, yeah, you're not going to get the same show.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I've yeah. never been one to understand prostitution, nor the whole stripper thing. I don't have fascination for it.
I understand the stripper thing. I don't understand the prostitution thing, but, you know.
Well, I mean, so it, then there's a deeper meaning to my, well, not deeper meaning, but a deeper questioning when you start talking about relationships. And people get into relationships. And then when someone is upset with someone in a relationship, where it's like, well, just not gonna have sex until I get my way. And so then you start talking about people holding the penis or holding the vagina hostage. And it creates.
And see, that's not me. I mean, I'm that's not me. Like, I could see, like, if you've gotten into an argument or something and you're just not interested.
Right.
You know.
I get.
Because you're
right.
upset. So I'm not, yeah. But, like, to hold it, like, for days and weeks and months, like for what? Like, why?
Right.
Why would
well,
you deprive your own self? So I'm not, I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, and we're talking, what's the psychology behind it. I mean, because there's a truth to it, right? There's a truth to it.
Oh,
there's,
definitely.
There's the battle, one-upping each other, and so it becomes a competition instead of a relationship.
Yeah, because that's what it is. So you're gonna need me before I need you.
Right.
So now who's gonna be the quote unquote sucker, the simp, the mark, the punk? Who's gonna do, you know, who's gonna give in first? Exactly. So then that person knows if I give in, then I'm gonna be the bottom one. I'ma always get punked, I'ma always get suckered, I'ma always be marked.
Is that
what?
Is that what the bottom does? So if you don't get
well,
in,
yeah, because there's one on top and there's one on the bottom, right?
Yeah, I mean, but so if you're on the bottom, that means you're not in control. You can't work your magic.
I mean, that's how people view it, though. I'm not saying that it's true, but that's how people view it. Like everybody wants to be like you. You said about an alpha male. Everybody wants to be the alpha male and or the alpha female, and even in a relationship dynamic, one wants to be the head of the household more than the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, and to me, I just feel like, you know, really, it's not. I don't know. I'm always looking for harmony and harmonious relationships. So I don't necessarily understand that. I don't want to control my man, and I don't want my man to control me. I want us both to be there because we want to be there. So if you're trying to dominate me or if I'm trying to dominate you, it's not going to work. it's going to be chaos and confusion and unhappiness. So.
No chaos and confusion. Well, I mean, speaking of chaos and confusion, Roman Polanski insists people know nothing about his rape conviction.
Oh, like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, you know, he's coming out with a film, right? And he's on a press
about
tour.
About it?
Yeah, his new film is about a man wrongly accused of espionage. In an interview ahead of the Venice Film Festival, he talked about how people don't understand anything about his child rape conviction. Like, well, I mean, it was pretty kind of obvious to me. You know, but he comes out, he says, most of the people who harass me do not know me and know nothing about the case. You know.
I mean, in a way, that's kind of fair. I mean,
yeah.
I can understand, like, where he's coming from on that end. Like, they haven't really, like, read about it. Maybe he's saying they're ignorant, not that, you know. I don't think he's talking about people who've actually, he's gearing his frustration towards people who know nothing. I don't think he's denying about it. There's no denial
right.
in it.
But there's no denial. You don't know nothing about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So then,
I mean,
so you don't know nothing about it, so you shouldn't talk. But these people over here that do know something about it, no comment.
Right. Well, I mean,
I don't have anything to say to you.
Of a 13-year-old girl as part of a plea deal in 77. And he was, you know, one of the things people were talking about, well, that's the reason why Sharon Tate got killed. I'm like, no, I don't think those two are the same.
Well, I think
they have
the thing, they do, but they don't, because I think she was supposed to be doing a movie and he left, so she wouldn't have been where she was if he hadn't have did what he did. You know what I mean? So it's just like kind of like a cause and effect, or like the butterfly effect. Because
no,
this happened, now this happened, and this happened. So,
well,
you know,
well,
I just...
She was killed like 8 years before all this happened. So, I mean,
I thought she was supposed to be making a movie, though, with him. And then something happened with that.
Well, no, she was pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was pregnant. She was murdered by the Manson family in 1969. So, it's one of those things where the two have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
My question is, he's still making movies. I mean, he's been exiled from the United States for, about 40-some years. I mean, he still makes movies. His movies still get play here. He still makes money. He just doesn't come to the United States, which I'm sure he's fine with, because I have the rest of the world to go to.
Exactly. And I'm doing fine over there, or here, or wherever.
Right. And I'm not going to go to jail by coming here. Yes, I might miss California and the Hollywood parties, but no. I probably wouldn't miss going to jail and hanging out with the homies in jail.
Yeah.
I always wonder, though, even though it's a question that has an answer, but it doesn't, why people, they fight when they're guilty. It's hilarious. Like Larry Nassar, he's appealing his child porn sentence. He's saying it's draconian and should be thrown out. He, in a 15-page handwritten appeal, he contended his convictions for receiving and possessing child pornography violate constitutional protections against double jeopardy.
Oh,
He also argued that lifetime bans preventing him from having electronic devices are too broad. And I quote him by saying, a person cannot be convicted for both receipt and possession of the same items of child pornography. He argues that his 60-year child pornography sentence is too broad. It includes computers and contact with minors without approval from a probation officer. He says these bans, they sweep too broadly, and they are the antithesis of the required narrowly tailored sanctions required for conditions of supervised release. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's like, look, yes, I did it. I possessed a lot of child pornography. So what happened was he signed a plea deal 2017. And he had 3 federal charges of possession of child pornography. And then a year earlier, police found videos and child pornography images in his home, and he also attempted to destroy drives containing child pornography. So he's like, wait, y'all already charged me for it, so you shouldn't have came back and charged me for it again, even though I'm violating what I did by having some more. It's kind of weird.
So what his reasoning, what he's thinking, because he's already been charged for it, and then he can go and look at it again and not be charged for it, or have it again and not be charged for it?
Well, yeah,
in trouble.
Right.
About it. So let me just go ahead and keep looking at it, basically is what he's saying.
Right. Well, he had the pictures in his house. You know, he's one of them things. Plus, all the athletes he was giving medical treatment to, that he was doing bad things with.
Hmm. I kind of understand that reasoning too. I mean, I can remember being young and doing things I shouldn't have been doing, and I knew I was going to get in trouble, so I just stayed out later. I was already going to get in trouble. So then I was just going, you know, I was going to do what I wanted to do.
I don't know. I mean, but see, when we're talking about him, though.
I mean, I think his situation doesn't make much sense, but I feel like, yeah, I get what you're saying, dude, but you're stupid.
Yeah. And so he's appealing it. Like, look, 60 years is too long, and I can't look at no computers. How am I going to jerk off? I mean, it's basically his reason. It's like, look, I can't have a phone. I can't have a tablet. I can't have a computer. I have to use my imagination, my perverted imagination.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically what he's talking about, right?
Yeah.
I can't be the supreme pervert I want to be because y'all have put these unlawful sanctions on my perverted ass. Unquote. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to move on to the hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
So our hater of the week, Keith Mounts, from my favorite state of Florida, used the restroom at his homie's crib and didn't flush the toilet. So dude was like, Hey man, flush the toilet. And he pulled out his machete. It's like, look, don't fuck with me. I'll cut you. And so dude called the police, and when the police asked him why, he was like, shit happened.
Oh.
Yeah. That was it.
Okay.
Ain't no more.
Did anybody go to jail?
Yeah, him.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he wouldn't flush the toilet. Dude called 911. Police arrived. They found the machete in the yard that belonged to him. And he told the police that he was using the weapon to defend himself. Officers asked him why. He was like, well, there's no reason. And he just said shit happened.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And on that note. I mean, when you get mad at your homie for wanting you to flush the toilet after you use it, you threaten to kill him? Yeah.
It's time for some R&R after that. Come on, you need a getaway. Too
yeah.
stressed and too tense.
Yeah. On that note, we just going to go on break. This is Red Man. Can't wait.
Now act stupid, I'll pop and roll. Now give me your bubble, ooh, cool, smooth like two blues. suede shoes, y'all. Faggot stepped on my Hoffman and Coos. Words to Santan, pillow and cool beats. With the speed like Bruce Lee, right in the Fuji and the Rookie. I drop it on the one fucking Gucci. Smokey like a box of cookies on Lucci. Yeah, yo, I'm there. Switching up speed like Bruce Lee, riding a Fuji in the movie. How do you say shit? Now, if you didn't get it, lock down and then figure the shit out when you get home.
Together you got the move, drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. That was Red Man. Can't wait. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, it's that time again. You know what time it is, Brown Sugar?
Time to get ill.
Yeah, that's, but it's Groundhog Day time.
No, that shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Alright, so, what is that shit that happened again? Well, you know, since the El Paso and Dayton massacres, it was 14 people arrested for threatening mass shootings, but actually, two more got arrested yesterday. So we're at 16 people. It's
okay.
I mean, it's out there on a whole other level. I mean, you think about 16 people who want to just kill people. It was a couple of one kid in the dorm in Kentucky yesterday, and another one who got caught. They're planning mass killings because apparently that's what's in right now. And just murder a bunch of people.
Trend.
I don't. Yeah, it's a way to get famous, I guess. I mean, I don't know why they say their names, whatnot. You know, apparently it's like they don't want to kill them. You'll say that you don't want to create any martyrs. Not that that mattered when it came to black people, but you know, these guys, I'm like, maybe if you just put a bullet in them and never say their names, that will work. You get that anonymous death. We all had just that unwritten agreement that we'll never say their names ever. It's just, yeah, that dude that tried to kill people because they were stupid.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, which begs my last question. Why are we cool with villains?
Because we all have that in us deep down, so.
Do we?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Well,
we all have,
I mean,
the good and the bad side, no?
Well, I mean, so it's what, when we say bad, what's the context of bad? So, for example, like Scarface. Drug dealer scum who killed his best friend and all that. That's the movie, right? It's like I've
yeah.
watched Scarface and I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, it was okay as a movie, but I didn't get where it's like, oh man, I wanna be like
where
Scarface.
People wanted to be like him.
Yeah, I'm like.
No, because people have a good and a bad side.
Mm. Okay. So that's why we're cool with Billy.
You just don't have, but you just don't have that bad side. You might have another kind of bad side. Your bad side might be something else, whereas you don't necessarily want to kill and sell drugs. You know what I mean?
I don't want to kill and maim and murder my people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And so
that's just your thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? But when I say villains and how people love villains, you know, obviously I'm talking about fictitious characters. I mean, that are obviously based on real characters. Then it's like, so we had the, you know, I'm a comic book guy, we had the Venom movie. And Venom is basically a symbiote that sucks you dry. But it's like they were buddies. They were like best pals. And I'm like, so you're gonna be friends with the creature that's killing you. Okay. And that's a villain. It's like they're coming out with the Joker movie. And it's like, okay, so the Joker is a homicidal maniac who kills people.
Uh-huh.
He serves no positive of anything in life. But I'm guessing that movie's probably going to do very well because people love the bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Why? See? What is it that you don't understand?
Well, so my sensibilities are there's the bad guys, and we understand as people, you understand why people become bad. There are certain life circumstances that happen. Social economical issues that push you in certain directions. I get that. But there's the whole worshiping folks in imagery that's about murdering folks. So, for example, I'll never forget, I mean, there's two films, two scenes in particular that I always remember. One, Boys in the Hood. And I remember I was at this meeting, and Marlana Karanga, the creator of Kwanzaa, was speaking. And he talked about how people cheered when Doughboy killed the people that got his brother. And the symbolism was, we're cheering for black-on-black crime.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there was a story that you fell in love with. People fall in love with Norris Chestnut. He's working hard, whatnot, to be, and then his life is taken from him. But we're cheering, and so the bad guys, the quote-unquote bad guys, they get got, and then that story is gonna be those guys who got killed. Their people have to come back, kill Ice Cube. Then his people have to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's the never ending story, and we're rooting for the bad guys who are the good guys. I mean, it's like my sensibilities were gangbangers. Are people who hate the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. That's all I thought about. I always thought of gangbangers as black Klansmen. I've never seen them any other way. The love and all that other stuff, But I just see the Klan. That's all I've ever seen. I mean, I'm sorry. If you're a gangbanger, or you know, I've just seen the Klan. I don't see the difference between gangbangers and Klan. She never has.
There isn't much. I would say gangbangers are conditioned to hate themselves and people that look like them.
So okay.
Klansmen just don't like anybody different.
Right.
Gangbangers are conditioned to not like themselves and people who look like them.
Okay, well, Klansmen, you know, they're a gang.
Yeah.
And they kill people from the other gang.
Yeah.
Famously so. Now my other since I'm getting off track here. My other movie moment, aside from the Boys in the Hood, was I went off track and lost my point. I'm hurt now. We talk about like Menace to Society and how he's leaving and we feel sorry for him. But once again, this is the individual that you know, impregnated the girl. Dude was defending his cousin. Look.
Uh-huh.
What's up with my cousin? Why are you doing her like that? And so he thoroughly whoops his ass. When, you know, it was more a situation where you were wrong, and if he does the right thing and takes the call, none of that other stuff happens. I just saw it like that. So, you know, these are movie moments where we're conditioned to love situations that aren't ideal, but all too common. And we love those situations. You know, it's like when people talk about you know, you'll have people who didn't have their parents in their life, and they'll be mad at people who had parents in their life. And I remember Grant Hill, like, look, I can't be mad at me because my parents love me.
That's so harsh.
Well,
I mean, I get what he's saying, but
you're saying
the people who didn't have parents, their parents didn't love them.
No, I mean, yes. But
that's like a blanket statement. You don't know what the circumstances behind all that was, so you can't necessarily say that.
Yeah, but what we're talking about are people who are criticizing someone because their parents are involved in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no. That's so, instead of embracing folks and understanding that, hey, no, you have what I want. I mean, it's basically you have what I wish that I would have had. Folks go the opposite way.
Yeah.
And the tear down. It's what we worship. And that's the question. That's why this is the question show. Unfortunately, we don't have all the answers here, but we shall strive to come back and do it again. For Miss Brown Sugar, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production, and we're out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands up.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth.